Thank you for joining us today. This is the Sub Rosa News Program. I am Dan Gaugherty. This program is being recorded on Friday, March 27th, 2026, in Sacramento, California, the capital city of the Golden State. Thank you very much for joining us from whatever platform you are hearing this program. We appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. We can't stress that enough. On today's program, I want to discuss a recent action by the Trump administration. And there are so many things happening with the Trump administration in both terms. In the second term, right now we have the war in Iran going on, and it's hard to look over other things that are happening because there's this chaos, nonstop chaos. But one thing that happened earlier this year was a edict from the Department of Transportation, the Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, finalized a rule called the so-called Safety First Initiative that has led to the revocation of thousands of licenses, commercial driver's license, and has sparked legal cases and an economic debate. And this is all going on kind of under the radar. So I want to dive into that a little bit today and look at how we got to this point. This isn't something that has just happened in the last couple years. This is a story really over a century in the making. But before we proceed too much further into this discussion, I will offer my personal opinion on this, just so the following information or the information I present today can be put in context. If this happened in any other administration, Republican or Democrat, you could have serious discussions about it. There are aspects of it that have some credibility, but anybody who has observed the Trump administration, either in his first term or in his second term, you cannot deny that it is driven by xenophobia and racism. And I think part, and this is my personal opinion, and as you'll see, based on my personal experience in the transportation industry, this is driven by racism. Perhaps Stephen Miller is pushing this. But these rules that Secretary of Transportation Duffy came up, really, I truly believe they're based not on the safety of the public as so much they are as retribution against immigrants. This is one of the driving factors in the Trump administration. So I want to have that out there so you can understand as we go through this, the context I'm discussing this. Okay. So let's just briefly go over the rules that the Transportation Department issued, among other things, and we'll take a very broad view. They are revoking thousands of commercial driver's licenses that have been issued to immigrants, including asylum seekers, refugees, and DACA recipients. And there's several different qualifications. They claim that they're closing loopholes. They're wanting English proficiency. And there have, unfortunately, been a couple of high-profile truck accidents with fatalities. And in both of these cases that were publicized, they were refugees who were driving the vehicles. And by every account, they should be held to consequence. Any motorist who is driving and causes vehicular fatalities. That goes without saying. But these have been really publicized by right-wing media and the Trump administration. And back to my point, I think a lot of this has to do with xenophobia and appealing to the base. So these new rules went into effect in January, and there's a lot of ongoing litigation, and it hasn't been fully resolved yet, but tens of thousands of drivers, many of them who are here in California, many of these drivers are of the Sikh religion, primarily from the Punjab region of India, are being affected. They're going to have their livelihood basically pulled from them. And of course, there's a lot of concern, not only from the individuals, but civil rights groups. But how did we get here? Well, we need to go back to the 19th century if you want to have a clear understanding, during the Gilded Age. And at that time, the railroads were the tech bros of the day, if you will. They were despised. So there was a progressive movement in the United States that formed passed the Interstate Commerce Act of 1887. And what this did was establish the Interstate Commerce Commission, and they regulated railroad rates because railroads were often giving more favorable rates to the oil companies, and farmers and other small shippers were having the screws put to them. Any rate that was charged by the railroads had to go through the ICC. Fast forward about 25, 30 years, and with the advent of over-the-road trucking, the ICC got involved in interstate trucking. And interstate trucking, up until 1980, was regulated by the ICC. If you were a LTL carrier, a less-than-truckload carrier, you had to go to the tariff bureaus, which was part of the ICC, and they would set rates for everybody. So carriers, carriers would try to distinguish themselves by better service, taking clients out to lunch, literally, but the rates were set. And it's not coincidental, during this same era, most truck drivers in the United States were members of the Teamsters Union. Now, say what you will about the Teamsters, but these were well-paid jobs, and it was a regulated industry, and there was more safety orientation, if you will, amongst the drivers. So as we start moving forward into the 1970s, there was a movement afoot in the United States. Several different things were going on. First of all, let's just take a step back to another regulatory agency, the Civil Aeronautics Board. Now, the CAB regulated, much like the ICC regulated interstate trucking, the CAB regulated airline fares. Pre-deregulation of the CAB, which came in 1978, if you were flying from New York to Los Angeles, be it on American Airlines, United, Delta, any of the legacy carriers that were around at that time, you were charged the same rate. This was the era where airlines would have lots of amenities to attract customers. They were given a guaranteed 12.5% return, and it was viewed really as a public utility. Well, in the 70s, our economy started changing. There was different thoughts going on. Whether you agree with them or not, that's a whole nother conversation. But in the 70s, the CAB, under the Carter administration, was eliminated. And that agency sunset about 7 years later. One of the few government agencies that's actually gone out of existence. And with that came more competition, more carriers. So there was a benefit to consumers, because pre-deregulation, air travel was pretty expensive. I traveled a few times in pre-deregulation in the 70s, and if you were flying from, say, Chicago to Des Moines, you might have two carriers on it, and the rate was the same. And it was artificially high, or more expensive anyhow. Once deregulation came, it opened up to competition, prices fell. Some say airline, the nature of air travel changed. It did. For better or worse, and we'll leave that for you to decide, but it did change. So the ICC also deregulated in 1980. So instead of having union drivers on fixed routes, say from Chicago to Des Moines again, it was wide open. People could charge whatever they wanted. So a lot of low-cost carriers entered the market, and for shippers, it was a bonanza. There was more competition, more rate competition. So low-cost carriers entered the market, many of them non-union. Now, there was another event that happened at about the same time, not directly related to this, but it did have an effect on it. And that was the strike by the professional air traffic controllers in 1981. Air traffic controllers went on strike, and the short version is President Reagan fired all these air traffic controllers. They were rehired by replacements, and most of these men and women who lost their jobs never went back to being air traffic controllers. And that was a major move, a major change, because at that point, through the 60s and even into the 70s, the union movement was very strong. This act by President Reagan really was a union busting act, and it tacitly gave permission to other businesses to bust unions. And it's no coincidence that the labor movement really never recovered from that, in a sense. There have been signs in the last few years there's been a resurgence in union interests. But that really was a significant event. So this happened at about the same time, in, you know, very broad terms, as trucking was deregulated and passenger airline travel was deregulated. So you have three big events happening. And I cannot overstate the effect that the air traffic controller strike had, because it really, in my view, broke the back of labor unions. Some people may like that. Other people don't, obviously. But it had an effect, and it really has moved forward over the last 40 years since that time. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more of what happened in the post-PATCO, the post-strike era. Thanks for sticking with us. We're back from break. This is the Sub Rosa News Program, and today we are discussing how the Trump administration's recent rules on truckers, how it's affecting truckers, and how we got to this point. Earlier, we already went over the formation of the ICC, the Civil Aeronautics Board, and how both of those entities regulated commerce. And the next big event that happened that really brought us to this recent action by the Trump administration was the NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And one of the aspects of this, and it wasn't fully implemented because it was very controversial, was that truckers from Mexico would have been allowed to operate within the United States. And I'm not talking just across the border or within the trade zone, deep into the United States. Obviously, Mexico has a much lower cost structure than the United States. So this was met with great resistance by the Teamsters Union, among others, and it was litigated, and finally in 2001, that there was a ruling in favor of the Teamsters. So they did win a little bit of it, but during this time of NAFTA, there was this tremendous cross-border commerce, and a lot of this commerce used to move by less than truckload carriers, and it switched in part because production philosophies, if you will, changed to a just-in-time inventory system. Now, a just-in-time inventory system, as the name implies, is say you're a car manufacturer and you, instead of having bumpers in your warehouse, a 3-month supply of bumpers in your warehouse, you would get them just before production of those vehicles started. So your inventory costs were lower. There was some economic benefit. You know, for consumers, you could argue it helped control costs. But this shifted the transfer of goods from less than truckload carriers to truckload carriers. And I have some experience in the transportation industry. The first 15 years of my career were in transportation, so I have very good familiarity with this. And truckload carriers, even in the best of circumstances, they have difficulty recruiting and retaining drivers. It is a grueling job. Drivers are generally paid by the mile, so to make money, you have to be on the road. They're not paid by the hour like union drivers typically were, and they were not union jobs either. So the wages were much lower. You might be a long-haul driver, and you might have a family in Houston, Texas, say, and you make regular runs from the Texas Mexico border up to Detroit with car parts, and you might not see your family for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. So it's a very hard job to not only perform and try to maintain some semblance of normalcy in your family, particularly if you have children, but the pay was really not very good. And I worked at a logistics company in the mid-90s. And part of my job there was buying truckloads, literally, to ship goods. And I can't tell you how many times I would call up and I'd have 5 or 6 truckloads of goods to move to various parts of the United States. And I could not book drivers because the dispatchers of all these companies, they didn't have enough drivers. So the wages were lowered and there was a shortage of drivers. So let me ask you, this is a rhetorical question. What is the great American tradition when it comes to a labor shortage? Well, those jobs which are hard to fill are often filled by immigrants. It's part of our DNA. Think back to the Chicago packing house workers, mostly Eastern Europeans. And, you know, our history is just filled with that. So it created an economic opportunity for several different people and several different groups. One of the groups that seized on this, amongst others, were the members of the Sikh community. And it was a relatively easy business to get into. You would have to get your commercial driver's license. And my ex-wife actually had some experience in this. She worked for a carrier, and part of her job was to recruit and verify the paperwork of drivers. And many of the drivers were Indian and or Sikh, and it was a relatively easy business to get into. You get your commercial driver's license. You buy a used truck, because that's what most of them bought, were used trucks. And a tractor can last, you can get a million miles out of it. And there's so many large carriers that turn over their fleet, you could get one. And then you could go contract with any number of different companies. So the wages were not real well. It was an economic opportunity for somebody that kind of had their own business. And not a tremendous amount of money, you know, 20 years ago. So a lot of Sikhs got into this business, as with other people, and I'm just using the Sikh community because they're very prevalent here in California. So they get into the business, and many of them are doing quite well. You know, some of them have added other trucks and have developed into trucking companies. And then they recruit because of competition. Wages are not real high. Now, the typical driver can make about $40,000 to $50,000 a year, but these are not 8-to-5 jobs. These are jobs where you're probably working in excess of 50 to 60 hours a week, 6 or 7 days a week, and you might be gone from your family, as I was explaining earlier with truckload carriers. So they got into this business, and they've done quite well. Along comes the Trump administration. And what does the Trump what is the Trump administration all about? They are all about appealing to their base. There are 35% of Americans who have xenophobic traits, who dislike the other. And this is just yet another way that Donald Trump and his administration, and probably a lot of this is being pushed by Stephen Miller. It looks like he might have his fingerprints on this. But these rules specifically targeted, amongst others, immigrant drivers, many of whom are Sikhs. We have a situation where as many as 15,000 drivers could be out of jobs. A lot of them have mortgages. A lot of them have loans on their trucks. And aside from the personal effects of this, what about the effects on the economy? A lot of our goods move by truck. A lot move by train, obviously. But still, you cannot get on any interstate in the United States and not see, literally in a 2 or 3 hour drive, hundreds of 53-foot tractor trailers going up and down, back and forth our interstate system, moving goods. So if you remove this many workers, what are the consequences? Is this something that's going to affect prices? Are we going to see more inflation because of this? All because of Donald Trump's desire to appeal to his base and to penalize a group that are not their version of so-called Americans. This issue still has not been fully resolved. There are several lawsuits going on. It does look like, however, that several people will be out of jobs because the courts are generally ruling in favor of the Trump administration in these new rules. So just be prepared for higher prices And you couple that with higher fuel prices, at least in the short run, because of the Iran war, we will have a shortage of drivers sometime in the next few months. So it will cost more to get these products to market, be it your local Walmart store or your grocery store. So this is just another inflationary action, much like the tariffs, that the Trump administration is foisting on the American public. And it's all to penalize a group of drivers, truck drivers, who are just working towards their version of the American dream. Well, thank you for joining us today. We certainly hope you got something out of our program. Our next program will be in about a week, and we will be interviewing noted environmental reporter Dan Bakker, and we're going to take a look at a controversial project in California that has been simmering for decades, and that is the controversial Delta Tunnel plan, which hopes to convey water from the Sacramento River to Southern California and to agricultural interests in the Central Valley of California. It's very controversial. There's ongoing litigation. And our guest, Dan Bakker, will give you a really thorough explanation of what's going on and the consequences of that plan. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you tune in to our next program with Dan Bakker. This is Dan Gowerney, and thank you for listening to the Sub Rosa News Program.